I'm just going to look at one verse tonight from that passage that Malcolm read, and it's Ephesians 4:26. Ephesians 4:26. Now, I would like to begin a new series that I'm going to call Biblical Problem Solving. And what it's going to look like Sunday evenings is this. Every challenge that we face as human beings, I'm going to hopefully prove, has an answer to that problem somewhere in the pages of the Bible. The Bible doctrinally answers every problem that a human being may face. Now, obviously, in this study, I'm not going to be speaking of hairbreadth precisions because we can't go that deep. But I'm going to be speaking rather generally, but in my generality, I'm going to show you how wide the Bible is in dealing with each human problem. Does that sound too far-fetched? The Bible can answer every problem. Does it seem too good to be true? Well, let's consider it tonight. We live in a world full of advisors and counselors and how-to courses, and they're all telling us how we're to live right and how to cope with our problems, and there are so many different strategies and ideas around. But I would like to suggest tonight that the Bible alone can address human problems in an absolute and a decisive way. So tonight we're going to look at a very common human struggle, and that is the problem of anger. Now, we all struggle with anger, don't we? Even as Christians, anger can be a problem. How many times, if you're honest now, would you have to admit you've said something or acted a certain way in a blast of anger, and later on you've regretted it? Have you got a problem with anger? Well, let's hear tonight from God's Word how the Bible addresses it and how it puts us on the right course to dealing with it. Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In your anger, do not sin. Can we just pray? Lord, please enable me to speak clearly and faithfully to your word tonight. And I just pray, Lord, that your people will hear and receive that which comes from you. And if anything need not be received, may they discern that. But, O Lord, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our midst as the word is preached. Amen. Okay, here we read these words. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now, notice here that Paul separates the state of anger from the practice of sin. Do you notice that? Do you see it? In your anger. Those Greek scholars here, locative, dative, or you'll say positional, locative, positional. In other words, when you are in a state of anger, do not sin. So what does this imply? It implies this. It is possible to be angry and be in a state of anger and not to sin. Look again at the passage and how that's put. In your anger, so you're already in a state of anger, do not sin. Now, does that surprise you? You may say, but isn't anger a bad thing? Actually, no. Anger is not bad. You may be surprised at that. Actually, let's start at the beginning What is the dictionary's definition of anger? A good definition I got out of the Collins School Dictionary is this. Anger is a sense of outrage that causes indignation. Did you get that? That's fair enough. It's a sense of outrage that causes in you indignation. Now, if that is what anger is, a sense of outrage, how can anger be a bad thing? How can anyone not be angry in this outrageous world we live in? If you never feel a stab of anger, that would probably suggest that something's wrong with you. I mean, think of all the injustice in this world. The child abuse, crooked politicians, exploitation, barefaced lies. Surely we all sometimes ought to feel outraged in this outrageous world. Unless we're walking around with blinkers on. We should sometimes feel indignant. Anger is not in itself a bad thing. I mean, didn't Jesus get very angry when he saw all those crooks buying and selling in his father's temple? Now, it doesn't say in so many words, but he certainly showed he was very angry, didn't he? Do you know the greatest sermon, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, was by a man called Jonathan Edwards, and its title is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Yes, God gets angry. In fact, the day of judgment is called the day of God's wrath. Wrath in the Greek is orge, which means anger. So anger in itself is not a bad thing. But we read in our text that when we are angry, we must not sin. You see, there's a right way and there's a wrong way for people to be angry. And the Bible tells us very clearly why this is so and how, specifically how, anger can become ugly when sometimes it can be a righteous and holy thing. So let me show you from the doctrines of the Bible, and I'm going to generalize here, but from three general biblical doctrines, anger can become something sinful. And then secondly, I'm going to show you how anger can be used for righteousness. Firstly, the first doctrine is the doctrine of creation. The Bible tells us God is the creator. All existence lives, moves, and has its being in God. God is the creator. Now, if he's the creator, what does that make you and me? Creatures. We are creatures, derivative and dependent creatures. We only exist by his will. Now, let me put it this way. The Bible tells us that we are not God. Therefore, we have no right to act as if we were God. Well, what's this got to do with anger? Think about this. When we get angry sometimes, we often feel tempted to inflict punishment on people, don't we? We want our revenge. We want to see justice done. We inflict wrath. Come on, when last did you blow your top? What's the sinful thing about it? Not the anger, because sometimes anger's justified. The anger is we want to play God. We want to see the people punished, so we inflict punishment on them by letting them have it. Do you realize you have no right to act in judgment and punish anybody? You're not God. The sinfulness of anger, firstly, is rebellion against our creaturely nature. We read these words, Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And that wrath is arge, anger. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, God is saying there, hey, judgment and punishment are my prerogative as God. You as a creature have no right to play God. And when we're angry and we decide to inflict our own justice onto people and let them have it and punish them, we're playing God. Only God has the right to inflict judgment on people, unless that judgment is handed over. So this biblical truth of God's creative power should teach us very clearly that although we may be angry and although we ought to be outraged and angry sometimes, we are sinfully angry when we play God, when we try to inflict punishment and wrath on people because we are outraged. Have you ever done that? Come on, I do it all the time and I have to repent of it all the time. There's an instinct in me that wants to let somebody have it. I want to see justice done because I'm offended and I play God. Think about that. That's what makes anger sinful. You've got no right to do that. Secondly, and this is an important one, the doctrine of human fallenness comes in. It's clearly taught throughout Scripture. The Bible teaches we are sinners. In other words, we are broken products. There is a virus in our system. We are all born with a tendency to twist things and do things badly. And we need to watch ourselves because we are sinners. What's this got to do with anger? Because we are sinners, when we get angry, our sinful nature can so easily cause us to behave in a destructive, damaging way. Somebody, what was a Puritan, Thomas Manton, put it like this. He said, sinful nature is like a barrel full of gunpowder. Now, in those days, that was the most powerful thing they could imagine. If you have any sense, you will do your best not to come near a naked flame. Think about it. My sinful nature is explosive. I might be a wonderful person up here, butter wouldn't melt in my mouth, but there's something in me that can explode. I'm a sinner. And when it comes to anger, I've got to be very wary of this. We've all had blow-ups, haven't we? Times when we're so angry and we've done things and regretted it later on. We are like barrels filled with gunpowder. And you know, you may have very good reason to be angry. Sometimes the motivation of your anger is justified by God. We should be angry at some of the things going on. But because we have such a sinful nature, we've always got to be very, very careful. Because put that naked flame of indignation next to our sinful hearts, and we can do the most horrible things. The Bible teaches us to realize our vulnerability. God can be angry and perfectly holy at the same time. He is worshipped in his anger and his wrath. But you know what? You can't. We need to take precautions because we are explosive, sinful creatures. I remember when I first came to this country, I went through a really bad patch. Talk about migrants and all that. And I ended up working in Somerset in a cattle auction place. And the characters I worked with, I thought they were all in Charles Dickens stories. But these guys found out that I wasn't only a Christian, but I'd been a minister. And there was one particular guy there who whenever I was around, he would blaspheme in the most horrible way and talk so dirty. And you know what? I put up with it for 3 months. I mean, what can you do? But one day, I was feeling very vulnerable, very depressed, and it was a very bad day for me. And this guy started going off, and he's going off about wife swapping and saying the most inappropriate things. And you know what? I blew up. And I'm not going to tell you what I said because I'm ashamed of it. I know it was wrong. I really wanted to hurt this man. The weird thing is, he was half my age and twice my size. I don't know what I would have done, but do you know what? After that explosion, because it shocked everyone, he didn't do anything either, which I was quite surprised about, but I resigned. You can ask Melody. I felt too ashamed to go back to that work because I told him I was a Christian and all the rest of it, and I'd blown up in this horrible way. I was so angry. Do you know, it's so unpredictable. We are sinners, and anger can come about at the most unexpected time and cause the most unexpected damage. Anger is sometimes justified. And you know, I had every right to be angry with that man. But the Bible warns us again and again in its doctrines that we are sinners. We are barrels filled with gunpowder. And we need to be very prayerful and dependent on God when anger stirs up within us. We can't handle it the way God does because God is holy. And we are sinners. So the Bible tells us that God is the creator and therefore he's entitled to judge and punish people in his righteous anger. But we are not God. We have to face this. And if we do face it, if we deal and read the scriptures that teach the doctrine of God's creative power and our creatureliness, and we will learn more and more this truth. What right do I have to play God? Secondly, we need to be warned, because the Bible teaches us again and again that we are fallen sinners, prone to doing bad things. And just let someone push the wrong button in you, and I promise you, you'll do the wrong thing. We need to be prayerful and dependent on God, because anger, sometimes it's justified, but it can cause terrible damage. The Bible constantly tells us that God is sovereign. This is the third one I'd like to bring up. What do I mean by sovereign? God is in full control of everything that happens, the good and the bad. Now, no one can understand this doctrine, but from cover to cover, you will see the hand of God in everything that happens. You read passages like this. God raised up the Amalekites. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, so he would not let the people go. God put the spirit of deception in the false prophet. God is sovereign. And God works in all things to his own purpose. We need to know in this third point that God is behind everything that happens in our lives. You've got to be a Christian to understand this. But do you know what? Nothing happens by fluke in this world. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And the thing is, God sometimes puts horrible people in your life to teach you. What if he wants to teach you forgiveness or long-suffering or patience? So he brings along some wonderful Charlie to really get on your nerves. If you understand the doctrines of God's sovereignty, you'll see the hand behind the second causes, and you won't be so prone to jump and panic and complain when they irritate you. I know people that are angry because they've seen things happen and justice hasn't ever been done. What we need to realize is nobody in this world is going to get away with anything. Justice will be done. What goes around in this world is going to come around. And yet I've known people to be bitter and angry because they've been poisoned by hatred, looking at all the things that have happened to them, simply because they refuse to leave justice in God's hand and trust his sovereignty. This doctrine of sovereignty is a great aid to the anger we sometimes feel. Angry people can sometimes do more damage than the people that anger them. You know, they're like bulls in a china shop and they can cause so much damage because hatred just begets hatred. The Bible tells us to trust in God's sovereignty. God allows all the stuff to happen in your life for a purpose. Now, I know it's going to stretch your faith, but this is what the Bible teaches again and again and again and again. I could give you the passages, but we'll be here all night. God raises up. He's the one that puts challenges in. How would you grow if he didn't challenge you and stretch you? It's no good getting angry, and you won't get wrongly angry if you can see the power behind the people that make you angry. Do you believe it? Can you see the sovereignty of God behind the problems in your life? I'll give you an example of when it was wonderfully illustrated. In Genesis 50, we read about Joseph, poor old Joseph, and we all know the story. Joseph had been sold as a slave to Egypt by his own brothers. They hated him, and they sold him as a slave. And he spends years probably rotting in a jail, probably stewing over these horrible brothers of his. I've been irritated with my brothers, but I don't think they'd ever do that. Well, you know the story. Eventually, he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh's so impressed, he raises Joseph to the rank of prime minister of the land. And when a terrible time of drought and famine comes, Joseph's able to rescue his family out of Canaan and save the whole people, the whole tribe who are the children of Abraham. And then we have that famous part in Genesis 50, 18 and 19, where his brothers come to him. Now, obviously, they're a bit scared now, especially after their dad dies. And they say, uh-oh, what are you going to do now? And listen to what Joseph says in verse 19, Genesis 50. Am I in the place of God? Remember, he's realizing he's a creature, he's not God. God's the one that's going to pass the final judgment one day. It's not his job to punish these people. He must have been angry. He must have been outraged. And then he goes on, you meant to harm me, but God intended it for good. In other words, he looked beyond those silly brothers of his, the second causes, and he looked to the originator of all the events, God in his sovereign decree. He said, I'm not looking at you stupid men. I'm looking at the hand of God that's worked everything out. If you are able to understand the biblical doctrine of sovereignty, you'll be less prone to anger when the second causes that God has allowed spring up in your face. So I've given you three doctrines. Firstly, God is the creator. If God's the creator, that makes you a creature. God alone punishes. When you're angry, don't lash out. That's God's job. Secondly, realize you're a sinner. You are prone to exploding. Be very prayerful and careful when things upset you because they can make you cause more damage than necessary. And thirdly, understand the doctrine in the Bible of God's sovereignty. There's a will, a good will behind everything that happens and every horrible person in your life. If you can only learn those doctrines that will teach you to see God's hand, who's pulling the strings ultimately, you won't be immediately angry at these people. Okay, finally, if that's bad anger, what's good anger? Remember, anger itself is neutral. We can make anger sinful when we play God or act in our sin or refuse to admit God's sovereignty of allowing these things. Good anger is this. It's channeling your outrage against sin and injustice and evil for God's purposes. I'll give you an example. You all know the story of the New York gangster Nicky Cruz. Remember crossing the switchblade? If ever there was an angry young man, he was. Nicky Cruz had a terrible childhood. And by the time he was 15, he was in New York. He joined the Mau Mau gang. He actually killed a man with a knife. He was an angry young man. He'd lash out at anyone who looked funny at him. When he was miraculously converted, he admitted in his life story he never lost his anger. It's just that his anger was channeled to the glory of God. He began to no longer hate people that were irritating him, but hate the devil and hate injustice and hate people's pain. And he passionately channeled his anger into a very, very powerful ministry. Listen, anger's not necessarily bad. The problem is, how do you live in it? In your anger, the apostle says, do not sin. Let's just pray. Oh, please, Lord God, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, because we're all prone to frustration and anger. And sometimes we're looking at all the second causes instead of looking beyond to you, who's allowed it in a loving reason. Father, help us to realize we're not God. We can't play God. Help us to wait on your justice. And help us to be very conscious of the sinners we are, how dangerous it is for us to be angry. In Jesus' name, amen. What did God do with his holy anger? He, in his anger and his love, gave us the cross of Jesus Christ. I think everyone who's truly born again ought to be here. If you have to go at the end of this, please go. But God's anger was pacified by the love he had. That's holy anger, pacified and glorified in the cross. Lord, we do want to pray that as we have communion, you will convict us, Lord, of our own anger, our own bitterness, and remind us you're our creator. We are sinful creatures, and your hand is over all things. Amen.